to War Master Podcast, episode 22 with Paul and Barry.
Hello, and today's episode is entitled Planning.
Or event planning, I've got it on mine. Maybe you had a previous version. It says Bunker War Master 2 planning.
Yeah, true, I misread it. Bunker, whatever it is.
It's event planning.
Yeah.
So we played the game today, we played a challenge game, Paul.
You went for it. Yeah, so to those who might not know, we have a bit of a bet on, me and Barry, that is the we'll label the Orc Challenge. And it is that one of us will play, use Orcs and Goblins in a 2,000-point game, will play the other person in a competitive game and win.
And you've got to say you're playing it.
You've got to say you're playing it. The wager is drinks on a night out.
So in advance.
So
I said to Paul, I'd take it easy on him, obviously.
So
I played high elf.
Yeah, so I put down this Orc and Goblin list that I've collected off deals I've found on eBay. So I wasn't going to proxy anything either. I could have done, I suppose.
It was a nice
but,
list.
But it's like, I was like, no, why should I? And Barry put down his tournament high elf list.
It's a new tournament list. I'm not sure it works, but it was interesting.
High elves are better than Orcs and Goblins. But anyway.
Yeah, your average elf is better than your average
Orc. But, you know, that's the point of a wager and a challenge. It's like, if in return, if Barry said, I'm going to try my hand at the Orc Challenge, I would bring
please.
Something good.
Skating, please.
No, it's the main worse. But I would be like, because there's a wager. And it's like, it's beers on a night out. That's like, that's money I don't have to spend to get drunk.
Excellent. Okay. Right, so Paul, what have you been doing in this fine last week before you go on a holiday for 2 weeks?
Yes, so...
Oh, in fact, we missed a week because I was on holiday.
We did, yes. I've even had emails asking me when's the next episode.
It's desperate.
Or the public, like, wanting us. So Barry's been away on his half term, which he'll speak about. I go away on Friday. So today is Wednesday the 8th. And a lovely sunny day in Essex. I go away on Friday to America on a US exchange program with the Army. I'll be away till the 25th. So there is going to be, apologies listeners, there's going to be a 2 week
break. Have you got permission from Donald Trump to come?
Do you know what? I have to write a PXR, a post-exercise report. And I've said one of my main points is to find a Donald Trump supporter.
There'll be millions of them,
mate. I'm just going to find one and legitimately, like, I'm not going to, I'm going to play it carefully because I don't want to come out like, I want them to talk. But I'm like, somebody, I want to find someone who's supporting Donald Trump. And then I'm going to have a selfie with them and go, so tell me of your political views. And like, I'd just be fascinated because... I watched The Daily Show, a very funny show, and they...
By an English guy?
No, not anymore. It's a South African presenter now. And it's hilarious that he is a presidential nominee, to me. Because it's like, can you imagine him as president and Boris Johnson as prime minister?
It'd be bonkers, yeah.
Yeah, but like, imagine the two of them discussing important things.
No, I think it'd be Nigel Farage. versus Donald Trump. Now that would be an argument.
My God. Well,
Nicola Sturgeon versus Donald Trump. She'd just nut him. He'd be gone.
Anyway, so yeah, so the point is there'll be 2 week break, I'm afraid, listeners, but it can't be helped because I'll come back nice and rich.
And rested.
And rested.
From all the hard work you're not doing on your exchange.
Basically, it's a paid holiday. You know, like.
Okay, so it's been 2 weeks, Paul. You must have played some games. I haven't done much.
Yes, I've played Jim at Warmaster, the runner of Saffron Walden's
team. What's he calling? The Sage. Jim the Sage.
Jim the Sage, yeah. Or Jim the White. Like, yeah, that would be good.
Like, grey. Is he not?
Oh, I don't know. I'm thinking Saruman. But like, I played him 2 games of Warmaster at the club, both in one night. So I took Skaven, he took Orcs and Goblins. Now that doesn't really count, like he's not part of the Orc and Goblin challenge.
Because
he ruined me twice. I hadn't managed to get down to the club for a whole night in ages because the way that my shifts have fallen. But Jim, bless him, picked me up, and he's picking me up tonight as well because he's playing you. But like, and so I was on the
stair. Getting you drunk.
I was on the stair all night because I was buying the drinks because he drives a long way to play here. So it's like, thank you. And I played 2 games with him because the first one he smashed me quite fast and the second one didn't go any better. But it was great because I'm using Skaven. It's very early days for me to Skaven tactics.
There are tactics for Skaven.
Oh, yeah, there's tactics. It's how can I get these underperforming army to perform? You know, you can get such a big army in Skaven. And they're great fun to use and play.
You can get a big army in Tomb Kings if you want to take all skeletons.
Yes, you can. And maybe you should. But it was the first game was hilarious because he used Geroff on my Screaming Bell. Because my tank was like, I'm going to use the Screaming Bell, it's great. And then
leave
it's like,
turn, leave
and it's like shoving it back into my back of my, bass line, and I was like, it doesn't move on its own, does it? So it was like completely nerfed me. I was like, oh, so now I have to send a unit back to go collect it, and you just keep doing it. And it was like, oh, it was not good. But hilarious. And by the second game, I was
so that might be an Achilles heel, would you
yes.
say?
Like, and so by the second game, I was pretty pissed on Stella, and he got a giant. He had the first turn. And after passing three orders and then a failed and a double move, he had a giant in my units on the first turn.
Before you've even rolled a dice.
I lost two units before I even rolled it, like, had a go. And it's like, that was so funny. I'm glad the second game wasn't the first game, because you're just like, I was annihilated through like that. But the first game was good.
I think that's the only second time I've heard of a first turn charge. We saw one in action with
yes.
Called on Nice and Dark.
Yeah, no, people have told me of them, but that was only the second time I've actually seen it. First turn charge, because you've got to go over 80 centimetres. You can't go 80 because that's not there. So it's 20, 40, 60 double move. Yeah.
You could have gone further. You could have gone to your baseline.
Could have done with that dice. Anyway, I got crushed. But yeah, that's what I've been
with orcs twice.
No, Skaver. He was using orcs.
Yeah,
I was using Skaven.
Yeah, you got beaten by orcs twice.
Well, early looking at Skaven, they might be another tier 3 army, maybe. But yeah,
I haven't heard anybody say anything.
So, Jewish. I mean, I want to use something of everything. So, like, and that was a list where. That had warp lightning cannons, and do they have really a place? And Giselles, and I was like, well, because the lead brigade, like the middle brigade, doesn't actually want to attack; it wants to get into weapon range. I don't know. There's a lot of
the Doom Wheels. They were good. I remember.
Yeah. There are an army that will use a lot of characters and a lot of you can start shoving stuff down flanks, etc. It's I'll really enjoy using them because they're my favourite army in the world of Warhammer. Just, are they any good? Well, they shouldn't be good because they're not very good. They're Skaven, but early days. But yeah, I played those two games,
and that was it. That's all you've done. You must have done more than that in 2 weeks.
I wasn't at the club 1 week.
Oh yeah, and then we did it on the Thursday.
Yeah, we did
after
it on
the Silver Tower.
Yeah, we've spoken about the Silver Tower stuff. Yeah,
so
that's it.
Okay,
that's
right,
it. Right. I mean, but I will say one thing. Adam, a friend of mine who comes around to play board games, etc., around mine. Basically, he's the guy that originally got me into wargaming, and at the moment, he's a fella who would want to play proper war games, but doesn't want to put any time or effort into it, like prep. So basically, yeah. So we play board games, and we're playing Battle Lore Second Edition at the moment, and we're both really enjoying it. Which is a fantasy flight game. Is very much Warhammer Fantasy in a box. Yeah, it uses a tile system. Battle Lore was originally a French game about 10 years ago. Fantasy Flight bought it out and redid it as Second Edition a few years back. First impressions, it was like, does this game look too cartoony? You know, but the models are nice, but like, is it too big? Actually, there's quite some nice tactics in it. And if you wanted to play Warhammer, a game that creates an army, puts it on the table, etc., but you have no time for generation of it, then Battle Lore is a great option because it does it all in a box and quite nice.
It's funny, I've got Battle Lore First Edition, Richard Ball.
And they also did a version that was
Game of Thrones. I've got all of that.
Yeah.
So I've got quite a bit of Battle Lore First Edition, but I've got all of the Battles for Westeros.
I don't think Fantasy Flight, I don't know if they're doing any more of it, because they did, there's three, in Battle Lore Second Edition, there's three armies. There's a Chaos army, a friendly army, a human friendly army, and an undead army. But they haven't done anything new for it in over a year.
Well, what tends to happen with Fantasy Flight is they go really hard in the first year, and then they disappear.
Yeah, and I looked at their forum, and it's like, I mean, it might be that that's all there ever will be.
Because for Westeros, there was the starter, and then there were four expansions, and the Baratheon army. Mm. So I've got all that stuff, and then it just dead.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I think Fantasy Flight, I don't know, that's probably a stealth, like, stop, isn't it? They don't say they're stopping something, they just...
I think they probably have a set budget set, and they say we'll run it for a year. We'll do this, and then review.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they just say no, that's move on.
But yeah, so there we go. Mm-hmm.
That's what they've done. Yeah, mm-hmm. But yeah, Battle Lore's good. I enjoyed that.
Mm. Yeah, I mean,
Richard Borg has this system of I don't know if they're still using it in the second edition, where you have cards that allow you to move on flanks
exactly
or the centre.
Exactly. Yeah. The second edition is very similar to first. All the key mechanics are there.
Right.
So a left, middle, right layout, hexagonals, cards telling you what you can order, left, right. To be honest, it replicates, it's sort of, in a sense, like, it gives you a sense of War Master in a box. Because rather than command rolls, you've got cards. And if you don't have the right cards, you can't order troops.
Yeah. But if you do have the right cards, you can go crazy with one unit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they did a Memoir 1942 or something. It's like a World War II version. That's good. You'd like that for.
Ooh, excellent.
Okay. Tanks and men and
excellent
stuff.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing I want to mention hobby-wise is Warhammer Total War, which is a computer game which is out.
Is it? Moment.
Well, it's...
Are you playing it?
No, I mean, you need a really good PC. And
and a lot of time.
And a lot of time, yeah. I mean, but the Total War series of games is a long-running computer game series, very good. They've recently come out, since we last spoke, a Total War Warhammer game, and it looks amazing.
It
looks to me far more War Master than Warhammer, really, because the scale of it is massive.
I find the real time a bit putting off.
That's what the Total War is.
Yeah.
You always lose to a clever computer because it can manage stuff in the way that you can't.
Well, what do you used to call it? This is a bit old school now, but there was this game called StarCraft, and there was a strategy called Zerging, where you just basically send billions of things before they have time to build. So it's like click, build.
I always
lose to those kids who are like ninjas.
Yeah.
And I'm plodding around trying to find what control does this.
Well, this Total War Warhammer is the latest generation of that, basically.
Right.
And I'm just saying, it just looks amazing. But you need a really good PC to run it. I mean, you can use a website for running games like willirunit.com.
Okay, I'm going to try this.
And it's like, not even close to my laptop. It's like, you have none of the required specifications.
Can I run it?
Can I run it?
Right, I'm going to
hit that into
every machine I've got in
can
the house.
Can I run it computer games?
All four
and
of them.
It will bring you to this website, and off your computer that you want to look at, and it just says, you just click on the game. So you find the game, you click on it, and it says, and it's... compares it to your computer that you found the website on, and it will read you up what you can and cannot do. And the same way I'd like to play the Battlefleet Gothic computer game. My laptop can't even come close to that as well. So basically, for a computer game, you need like a £1,500 PC.
What?
And PCs go out of date so fast that...
I used to work in the PC world. I used to work in selling PCs and stuff. But, when people came in to buy a PC to run computer games, I just told them to buy a console. Because they're going to get so frustrated. Because there wasn't this caniRunit.com or whatever. It was just like, well, you should be able to run it.
Yeah.
But what do you mean? I said, but don't open it. Because if you open it, you can't bring it back.
Yeah,
they're
exactly.
Like, what, to buy a PC, I can't even run a game, can't bring it back.
Yeah, exactly.
Get a console.
But this Total War will never come out as a console, sadly. It's not a joypad kind of game. It's a strategy game. It's like... So it's a shame, but I mean, I'd love to try it at somebody else's PC, but I'm not gonna find the money even if I wanted to. It's like, as in, had the money to do it, which I probably do. It's not gonna happen. But never mind.
It's not gonna happen.
Mm-hmm.
Right, excellent. So I was on holiday. That was fun. I went with the in-laws. That was fun. Okay, they bought a beach up. That's always. They've come into some money recently on an advanced inheritance. So an inheritance. From somebody that's not dead yet, but a down.
So, a beach hut is just a shed on the edge of the on the.
This
sack.
May not even be a thing around the world, but
I don't know. It seems a very British thing.
Oh, it is.
It's basically you've got a nice house, and then for your holidays you go to something far more basic.
Well, no, you go to a nice house. We rented a nice house. We rented a 5-bedroom house in Frinton. It was lovely. Yeah.
So it's not really a beach hut then, as I understand.
No, they bought a beach hut.
Oh, okay, right.
So a beach hut is a garden shed by the sea.
Yeah, with a toaster in it.
No, you can't. There's no electric.
Oh, even that.
It's a garden shed. So you can take your camping stuff and you have to go get water.
That's so British.
It is. But people pay crazy money. I've heard a beach hut went recently for $120,000.
What?
For a garden shed. On by the sea. And you've got to pay ground rent and all this other stuff. Yeah. And you go we're mad.
It's ridiculous.
We're mad. Other people in Europe just laugh. Because you've got to own it.
Average Australian, concept behind that one? I'd be like, why do you even want to go to the beach?
It's so British. It's like, we can't let go of the colonial thing. We've got to own it. We've got to have this. This is mine. You can't come here. So brilliant. I'm not going to talk about the next thing. Game of Thrones is good, man.
We're talking about
in general. Yeah. I don't like to talk about Game of Thrones a lot.
We don't want to give spoilers, because...
Oh, right, that's true. Oh, well, that's what I'm going to say. Then Game of Thrones.
Well, okay. It's on. It's episode 7.
Has just gone.
Just gone. And it returned. Had a character, fantastic character in it. But come back. Who and like it's during Game of Thrones. If you don't see him die, they're not dead, are they?
Apart from Stannis, I've still pretty.
No, is he dead? You don't see him die.
I don't know.
So there's one spoiler. It wasn't Stannis, but like, it's we're both massive Game of Thrones. But there is apparently there's a series of 7 and a series of 6 episodes left
after
to go.
This. That's 13 plus 3, right. 16 episodes left.
That's it. I'm afraid.
And you can't say, oh well, the book did this because we're miles ahead.
We're
ahead
of the book now. Yeah,
so it's a brand new world.
I mean, it's compulsive TV. Yeah, like basically, I think with the Game of Thrones thing, on my PS4, I got Now TV, which gives you a monthly rent, and you get access to like all of Game of Thrones. And it's clear that we're in the last like years of Blu-rays and DVDs, because why would you have them? Because like with Now TV, like something like that, an online TV program, it just gives you access to everything
for a subscription
for a very fair price that you can then drop the subscription if you wanted to. Because the thing about Now TV, it's a little false, is like you got the first month free. Then you paid the standard rate of the second month. But it did actually auto... I read the deal as it doesn't. So that means like if you forget to use it, it doesn't or isn't costing you a £5 or like or £6 every month. But it actually did. Well, anyway, there's a little thing. So basically, once we've watched all of Game of Thrones' current series... What is it? Series 6, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, then you can just drop Now TV...
And come back in 10 months.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, that's the way... You know, like these... I mean, at the moment, I'm trading in all my old DVDs for Blu-rays at a ridiculous rate.
What, like one for every 100?
Yeah, I know. But I mean, and I'm only doing that because it doesn't cost me anything. But ultimately, you know, sooner or later, you just get rid of the DVD. There won't be that format. It won't exist.
Apart from those old timers with my vinyl.
But it's media, isn't it? It's not like the picture is better on a Blu-ray. Not, I mean, it's like with vinyl, they say the sound is better.
Warmer.
Yeah. What does that even mean?
Like, why does sound warmer?
What's a cold sound then? I don't know. But
digital.
Like, whatever. You know, like, you know, anyway, that's not going to be the case. So.
Right, and I'm playing. Last thing is, I didn't obviously play anything apart from Magic on Monday.
Yeah.
And I'm playing gym tonight. Hopefully, get a couple of games in. I'm not sure what I'm going to use. I was thinking I was going to bring his demons, but. Those orcs really put me through it today, so I might need more practice because I know I've been grudged at Paul's tournament by Christoph, who's bringing orcs.
Yes,
and he's my first match he's grudged me, so I'm not going to duck it.
No,
so
because you're a man, because you know, because Britons don't walk away from things.
That's
yeah, like that's why we should stay in Europe.
So I'll be facing orcs. And they can give you a handful. They can give you some headaches, orcs. Those Geroffs are annoying.
Yeah.
So I might need to play Jim, because he's playing orcs. Orcs today, orcs tonight, orcs the end of the month. I'm in a sea of orcs. So I might bring my list, but I might tailor it. I might go back to my old list, actually. I wasn't overly sure this list.
I'm also in attendance at the club tonight. I've got to play a game of Blood Bowl. The world's longest league.
10 months old and still going.
Oh, I don't know why. Anyway, but once that nonsense is out of the way, I'm going to actually play Spartacus tonight.
X-rated board game.
The rated R board game. Yeah, which is a fantastic board game. Yeah, it's really good, and it'll be funny because again, Jim's picking me up, so I can be on the beers.
On the beers again.
Yeah.
Right. So, KR sponsorship. Thanks a lot, KR. They're great.
Happy days. Happy days, KR. KR will be backing us at our event coming up. There'll be lovely cases to win.
And at the Derby. Okay. Mm-hmm. Right, game report today. Paul, what was your list? What was your dirty orky list?
So, my orc list. Basically, I didn't want to proxy anything. And these are orc models I got from deals I found on eBay. So I've not spent more than £10 on any unit. Yeah, actually, no, tell a lie. The characters, I spent a bit more because I needed to have the characters.
Millions of characters.
Yeah, and actually, if... I don't know. I could have easily just gone to Polar Fox and just given them a load of money anyway. But I didn't. So anyway, this is what I've come out with.
Because you like playing eBay. There are certain...
Do you know what? I enjoy bidding on eBay.
I know. Alex Clark loves it. eBay's like a leisure activity.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting to me to look on there periodically at the Warmaster stuff and put in bids. Like, that's a ceiling bid I would pay.
Right.
And then just see what you get.
See, I'm too dangerous on eBay. I restrict myself. Mm. I'd rather,
Oh, it's a dangerous thing, but like that's how I do it. Anyway, so today's list was 4 orc warriors, 1 black orc, 4 goblins, 3 boar riders, 4 wolf riders, 3 wolf chariots, 2 rock lobbers, then my collection of characters, my orc general with his shiny crown of command, that's 100 points.
Which works.
Yeah, 2 orc heroes, one of them a budget fighty hero on a chariot with a sword of might, and 2 orc shamans, a goblin hero, yeah, 45 points of
44.
Awesome. 45, what?
Oh, and we'll talk about that.
And 2 goblin shamans.
What was the 40?
So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 characters. Is that right? 2?
No. 4?
No, 7 characters.
No, 8 characters.
8 characters, yeah, yeah 8 yeah. characters.
Just 8, yeah.
8.
And more characters than units at the end of the game.
So breakpoint was 11, 21 units. My scouting value was 8 from the 4 Wolf Riders.
Okay, and I was testing a new high elf list that kind of worked, but it was a bit cheesy, and the leadership was pushed. So we had 6 spearmen, 2 archers, 6 silver helms, just the 6.
Just 6?
Just 6. 2 reavers, 2 eagles, 2 bolt throwers, 1 general, 2 wizards, no magic items.
Yeah.
So the problem with the list was that the wizards have 2 hats to wear. They have the I'm trying to command hat, and I'm trying to cast spells hat.
And their magic is key to shooting often. So that, again, limits where they might want to be.
Yeah, so that was a stretch, let's say. Mm. So
your 3 characters to my 8 characters.
Well, it's really your 8 characters to my 1 character. Is how this game really works. Yeah.
So should I talk through my theory behind my...
Yeah, talk through the theory of your list.
So basically, so this is the Orc Challenge. So say, this is the Orc models that I had. There's some easy swaps to make. For example, I could swap out the 2 Rock Lobbers for 1 Giant. Yeah, and I might well try that next time.
Yeah.
Because 150 points for both. Yeah,
get a turn 1 charge off.
Yeah. But basically, an orc general, their key thing that makes them a tier 3 is the orc general's command of 8. The crown of command is a magic item that puts you up to 10 for the first order he gives. Regardless of anything, he orders that first order when you use the shiny hat on a 10. You don't have to use it. But if you roll an 11 or 12, the hat's broken.
Forever.
You ain't got it again. It's 100 points. It's the most expensive magic item there is. And he is the character out of all the armies that can get the most benefit out of it because his natural command is 8. But if you just think about that, that is like, it doesn't matter for you could literally be one side of the table to the other, enemy near, all casualties, except doesn't matter, command 10, boom. And I wanted to try it out. And I was quite...
You used it last time you used orcs.
Did
yeah,
I?
Yeah,
I don't
absolutely.
Know. Anyway,
yeah.
I quite liked it. I quite, you know, it does shunt him from 95 point orc general to 195
more points. Than a high elf general.
Yes, it's expensive, but maybe they need it. I don't know. I mean, I decided to go for it. Now, if you didn't take it, you could obviously shunt their breakpoint up more and
have a
bigger army,
troops.
Or better quality troops, have a bigger, better army or a bigger army. But I, you know, I wanted to rock this shiny crown of command. And I think I was a fan of it, actually.
Did it do anything?
Well, it makes, like, those safe orders. Like, the order when I put the Wolf Riders into your flank, like, on one of your cavalry units, that was an unlikely order without the Crown of Command.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he could...
He ordered the artillery from miles away.
Yeah, from miles away to give one order, just move it up. You know, like, one, and so, another tactic I might try... is to have lots of trolls in the army, have a brigade that includes trolls.
All trolls.
Maybe. But like, and then the general's just going like forward a turn, one a turn. You get one order and it's on a 10 and you go forward.
Imagine 4 trolls in column.
Yeah.
Grind through this.
Get through that. You ain't getting it. It's going to take a while. And when they get into combat, they can just go on initiative then. So that was my intention. It's got a lot of cavalry in it. Because other people's orcs and goblin armies don't have any wolf riders or wolf chariots in them.
Why is that?
But I wanted to try them. I like the models. I've got the models. That's what I've got on eBay. So I think a good general makes deal with what he's got rather than what he can choose. I quite liked it. I enjoy playing them. Orcs and goblins are fun. And
I'm wary of giving you too many tips because then you'll use them against me later.
Well, exactly. I mean, like, it was a wager on. Like, I'd expect nothing less than Barry's best against me because he's a fool if he doesn't, because then it's like beers. And on the return, if Barry decides to try his hand at this, I will, you know, I'll come out swinging. Maybe dwarves.
That would be hard work.
Yeah. That's where we're at.
So what Jim tends to do to take those 2 rock lobbers is he puts wolf riders with them.
Yeah.
Because they're very good.
Yeah.
They can shoot all the way around.
Yeah, yeah, that'll be an option. I mean, and something to play around with.
Much thinner, like facing. Much more dangerous to charge.
The best thing in the Orc list is the Boar Riders, and you want to take as many of them as you've got, as you can get.
I love them, but God, they don't last long.
No.
They just get worn away.
3 hits and armor 5. A unit on a unit, that'll roll 15 dice, but they only have 5+ armor and 3 hits each. It's not knights.
It's weird how quick they disappear.
Yeah, they really do. I mean, there's lots of ways to play an Orc and Goblin list. This is one of the reasons. Like, they're a good list in the sense that there's nothing wasted. Like, the goblins have a role to play. Like, our criticism of ogres recently with Nobblers, where they have no role in even. So goblins, a 30-point a unit, they do have a role to play. They can, and it isn't just hide your breakpoint. Is they can support troops. They can be little defensive troops. Like
they can protect their rock lobbies.
Yeah, they do well with artillery units. Like, you know, as blinkers. Yeah, for example.
Yeah, uh-huh. Lots of things they can do. And they can support trolls.
Goblins and trolls is like a kind of a classic matchup. Trolls for the fighting, goblins for the standing behind them.
Do we want to talk about the game? I've talked about my list, haven't I?
Yeah, so we'll chat about the game. So Barry puts down all his cavalry on his left flank and all his
infantry. I lost the scouting roll.
He lost the scouting roll.
The Orcs knew where I was going.
I took every dice. I lost the scouting because I got loads of Wolf Riders.
You won scouting. I won the kickoff.
Yeah.
Early in the mid game, you were crushing me.
Yeah. So I decided to match his cavalry for my cavalry. So he had 6 units of Silver Helms.
Probably too many, but
they run right over my infantry. So I put on my right flank opposite his cavalry, I put my 3 units of boars, my 4 2 of my Wolf Riders and my 3 chariots, so 3 waves of cavalry, and I look to go for a hill, but I've got to be wary of his eagles. I don't want to lose stuff too easily to eagles, and because I haven't gone for a high break point before, even though mine breaks higher, it's like I've got easy kills in, yeah, so I and I'm going to put my artillery up on a hill on the left. And my centre's going to be held by infantry, and I had some Wolf Riders also on the left flank, you know, for a bit of variation. And the game started well. I didn't overextend arm. It didn't overextend, and yeah. Mid game was me. Actually.
Yeah, early game. Yeah. The only thing I managed to do with any impact was I sent my eagles into the front of your brigade, which had goblins, and then the 2 rock lobbers
hiding it. Yeah.
Yeah. So killed the first unit of goblins for 1 wound, which is really good. Yep. But then the second wasn't so good.
Yeah.
I lost a stand, and it was a draw.
Yeah.
And then I got
swallowed up by 2 flanks, 2 either side, which I put you in a position you couldn't avoid. So basically, in Barry's army with his 2 units of eagles, I need to knock out those eagles before I can really start using my rock lobbers. Because in a frontal charge, he'll just send them in and kill the rock lobbers. And the rock lobbers are going to outdistance his bolt throwers. Because Barry had put a brigade of 2 units of bolt throwers and 2 archers, which was just rinsing me. Everything they shot.
I wanted you to charge them.
I would have done, but I mean, it was telling. It was like they were like they're maybe not wiping out a unit, but
that was annoying. Yeah. Twice they left one standing with a wound.
So I mean, this game finished 11-5 to Barry, but there was a lot of one stand units left on both sides.
Broken men.
And that was this brigade, the shooting brigade of Barry was really telling, and I needed to either get some orders off and mass infantry into it or start hitting it with my own artillery. But to do that first, I had to deal with the eagles. So I kind of wanted Barry to actually charge my goblins with the double goblins in unit. I knew I'd lose a unit, but I wanted him to do it because right now, early game, their value is far more than on the table.
It would have been better if I could have. Maybe I should have broken off after the first one and hidden behind.
Yeah, yeah.
Because then I'd have messed with you all and couldn't have been initiative charge.
Exactly.
So I was a bit greedy.
And he sent the second unit of eagles to catch one of my kind of one stand left after shooting units of orcs, which he then used that to pin off into the flank of a brigade. And again, it's like, even though I knew attrition wise, I would lose men and I'd eventually come out on top. I actually wanted Barry to, again, well, I mean, it's a shame he got the unit, like I couldn't avoid it, but I kind of actually wanted him to...
But I didn't get any of the brigades, just dinged them up.
No, he dinged them up again, but again, they ended up, these eagles ended up dying because they got caught then by some a nicely positioned unit of Wolf Riders.
Yeah, they did really well. I think there was only one stand left.
Yeah, there's only one stand left. So, but once the eagles were dealt with, I could start using my rock lobbers with impunity. Oh no, like, what are they
immunity.
Called? Immunity. Anyway, that was the early game taken care of. But I basically...
Mid-game, I made like... Oh, God, there was a turn I did no orders.
Yeah.
And there was a turn where the general managed two orders and that was it. So, like, in two turns, I made two orders.
Two orders.
And he was always everywhere. Yeah, it's like,
And I was looking good, and I was
And on top of that, you've got to factor in the fact there are four wizards casting Geralt.
Yeah.
So my stuff's getting scattered, blown off the board.
I didn't have, like, an outrageous turn of magic where I got all the wizards' or spells off. But four wizards is, again... one of the strongest things about
with that spell because it causes havoc,
because like you can put it in, okay, that mill unit in that brigade disappears,
that screaming bell
goes back, and then it breaks up brigades. Lovely. So I was playing on Barry's lack of characters.
If you set up in line, they just blast the first one, and then you're stuck behind a confused unit. Yeah. If you go in column, they shoot off the middle one.
Shoot the middle one back.
So your brigade's broken.
Yeah.
If there's three,
exactly. They're very good at that. And Barry only had three characters. Two of them are wizards with a 20-centimeter command.
So that's why...
I was trying to give him lots of broken... As in, lots of units on their own.
That's why I need some more practice. Because it's not the quality of the fighting. Yeah. It's the being able to be resilient against Geralts. Because they will cause havoc with you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, on the right flank... my right flank, cavalry versus cavalry clash... it started with his Reavers coming forward and shooting some of my Wolf Riders. In return, they get countered by a unit of Boars, who don't do very well and only manage like do
they
a
do
draw.
Damage.
They did damage, but they
lose all the fighting him.
So the peace trade is starting of units of cavalry, but eventually, what wins Barry the game is that I run out of it. He out-attritions me, and his Silver Helms, even though they're coming in piecemeal.
Well, one unit at a time, basically.
Yeah, and do eventually come out on top. I did pull off some lovely, unrealistic orders. Like, I got a flank of one unit of Silverhelms with some chariots who needed to go in on, like, a five, and got it.
That was good.
Yeah, like...
And the flank charge to the archers, was good.
Yeah, and I managed to sneak a unit of Wolf Riders, like, into the middle of his army and get a flank of archer unit, but that was great. That caused Barry to rearrange. But basically, I lost the game because my breakpoint of 11 probably wasn't enough in the terms of the troops I had. So because I've gone so heavy on characters and a magic item, that I didn't have quality troops or a high breakpoint. I had neither.
I don't know. I think you lost because you became too spread out.
Yeah. And
there's just no leadership in the army.
There was a turn when Barry moved. All right, so my cavalry's about to get... attacked. I needed to turn it around, and I used my shiny hat of command to flank one of Barry's flanking Silverhelm unit with Wolf Riders, who completely fluffed their dice and lost. And then died, and that in turn resulted in all my cavalry getting smashed because I couldn't. I failed my orders basically. The orc's low command told. Then I got the 10 off, as you'd expect it to work, but then I was trying to turn boar units around on the 7. Didn't happen. Failed the first one. Yeah. And that cost me the game.
Yeah, and your army was split between, like, as far apart as they could have been, like, opposite corners of the board.
Yeah, I mean, because I didn't... I mean, Barry's attrition, he's done very well in this attrition in the middle. His shooting brigade has wiped out my centre, really. It's like, it's busted it all out to hell.
Yeah.
When he started moving his spearmen into me, I just wasn't content. I mean, I was just playing for time there. I need my cavalry to win big because my left flank was gone going. Like, I didn't have anything to stop Barry's, you know, massed infantry.
Apart from your bolt throwers, rock lumbers, they did good.
Yeah,
they took off a unit of...
They did well...
They took off a unit of archers.
They would play well. They did well to get work done in the game and not die too fast.
Survive the game.
They survived the game.
And they did. Yeah. They did work.
Yeah, they did work.
Well, you couldn't be gung-ho with them. I had to... Before exposing
When there's
them.
Flies around, you have to be quite conservative with the shooting because the moment you expose them... And if the flyers are still around, they could be killed in return. And rock lobbers have no stand and fire. They're not those troops. They're not those units.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So that's how it went down. But I was quite pleased. I mean, I gave a fair crack at this.
It was 11-5, although it was much closer than that.
Much closer than that.
And I was under 10 minutes.
Because you're under 10 minutes left. You had five units with one stand left.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
My grade was 10.
Yeah, 11.5 is like, you know, it was closer than it sounds.
But orcs don't have any way to mop up those units.
No. Mm-hmm. I can't say I was lucky or unlucky at any particular moment. I rolled pretty average dice throughout. First attempt fail at the orc challenge, but, you know, I was pleased with that because, like, I wasn't annihilated.
Mm-hmm. No, you weren't annihilated. No. Nowhere near. Mm-hmm. Right, okay, what have we got next? We're going to talk about Bunker War Master 2.
Yes, we are.
So I've got your house rules here, Paul.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
So we need to go through those and talk about what's different about your event and talk a bit about the house rules for people that don't know them.
So just to give a premise of the event, this is a competitive War Master event. The prizes we have coming in now, and we'll speak about the prizes.
Look, doing that.
Okay, yeah, so right now, so there's going to be prizes for first, second, first. There's going to be a prize for best painted and probably some other spot prizes as well. Like, I'd like to do a prize for one who does the nicest table, for example.
Okay, that was Nick last year.
Probably Nick, and probably Nick again.
No, you know, like, make him work for it.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, first, second, third, we'll get KR cases. And they're very, like, first and second cases are very nice. They're, like, they are expensive things. As in terms of, like, for a prize, it's lovely. Then there's miniatures come to me from Manistrum Millistrum. There's miniatures come from me from Polar Fox. These are prize support as well. There's dice being given away from Cymbeline Games.
Yeah.
And there's a voucher for £50 worth of stock from Eureka Miniatures coming as well. That's everything. Yeah, I think that's everything.
So that's a couple of £100 worth of prize support.
Yeah. So there's something worth winning. Now, obviously, how I divvy out the prizes, I'll think up on the day. But it's worth winning first place. Like, there is something to win for a £10 ticket, which includes lunch. There's definitely something worth winning. You'll get good value off.
And you're going to get three games. Yeah,
you're get three games because I like to give it, you know, hour and a quarter death clock each. And so that means you can only get three games in a day.
Is that, they're going to get anything else for turning up? Is there anything else, maybe?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Are we saying that?
Yeah.
Okay. So also, we're going to give away rule books. So we're going to print out a copy of the rules.
So we're not selling them anything. This is not like a money-making exercise. They're just going to print them out.
So attending the tournament gets you a rule book.
So the rule book will just be a collation of the PDFs.
Yep.
And it'll be in a nice bound edition.
Exactly. And Barry's found a very good deal for where to get them done. And in future events, we'd like to do one for Army List, for example.
Yeah, maybe next year would be a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. 6 months' time.
And obviously, from the prize support gathered from the first event, this is the second event of it, there's the trophy to win itself, which you get to keep. Yeah, and have, you know, like, if you want to engrave it yourself, then, like, you know, so...
Otherwise you engrave it. But
I'll keep it then. But, like, Alex Janoway is the current champion. And
but if you do take the trophy, you need to bring it back in 6 months.
Yeah, that's not fair. Be a gent. Yeah, and so, yeah, as I was saying, so what it is basically, because it's got good prizes, there has to be this competitive timed element to it. And that's how it might be different from, say, another War Master event you might have played, is that, you know, like, I'm not saying, like,
it's not going to be cutthroat.
No, but it's going to be. But it has to be, there has to be a winner.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And it has to feel like the winners deserve to win.
Exactly. And they will be, the winner will be someone who's won all three of their games and won, like, at least one of them quite away.
You won't
get three minor wins, won't cut it. In one of your games, you've got to crush the enemy.
Okay, right. Mm-hmm. So maybe you should talk through this document.
Yes.
I printed this off from the Derby Wargamers, and if you look on our Facebook page, there's a link to this document now, so you can go click on it and you'll be able to find it.
So the erratas we're using, because I've been asked this a couple of times since our last podcast, was that it's the War Master rules with these following erratas put into it. And this is the compact that's being run at the Derby National, UK Nationals. It's exactly the same, just replace the title with the event that we're running.
Yeah.
Because I'm running this one as well. Okay, so the format is a Swiss tournament event. That means your first round is random, unless you've got a grudge match. Which you do. Scoring as follows. You get 4 points for winning by breaking the opponent, and that's by killing their general, or your opponent timed out, or breaking the army as normal. There are three ways to win. Run out of time, you lose. Kill the enemy's general, you win. Break the enemy's army, you win. You get 4 points for that. Then there's 3 points for losing, but doing more than 600 victory points of damage on the opponent. 2 points for losing, but doing more than 300, but less than 6 for the opponent. 1 point for losing but doing more than 150 points of damage. So most results will be a four something. There'll be somebody's won, they've got 4 points, and the others will have either 0, 1, 2, or 3.
So you will more than likely, if you get 16 players, to have two players on 12 points at the end.
Yeah.
So what's the tiebreaker?
The tiebreak is strength of schedule. So I will do that by allocating the amount of points that your opponents have gotten, and that will then divvy down, like, in the result to equal out
time. I'll try and provide some software for this.
But basically, the way it works, in listeners, is that if you've played someone that's scored 11 points, finishes, that's worth more than someone who's scored 3 points, finishes. Yes. Because that person who scored 11 points has theoretically done better than that.
Well, they have done.
Three. Well, yeah, but like...
Much better. They got two wins and a good loss.
It's not a perfect system, but it's the one we're using and that's the best we've got.
It is the best we've got. The only... Yeah, I'm not going to talk about the anomalies that can be created because it's generally in the first round.
Yes. Yeah,
that causes problems.
Yeah, because the more rounds you have in an event, the fairer it gets. But you can't control the randomness of the first round.
No.
Unless you've got a grudge.
Unless you've got a grudge.
Yeah, like,
and then the next tiebreaker would be victory points that you've destroyed or whatever.
Doubt it will need a second round, a second tie, but there is a second tiebreak as well, and it certainly doesn't need a third.
No, that's perfect.
So armies are obviously 2,000 points from standard or trial lists, and we've given a link in this stuff to where you can get them all. So it's basically anything that was in the two books, the two source books.
There's millions of lists, 35 lists.
There's 35 army lists. Now, FYI to the future, we're going to cut down the number of lists in the future, most likely, because 35 is ridiculous.
And they're not all.
But even if we kept it like I would, which is one army list a race, that's still 24. You know, there's no other game system out there that has that many. Chess clocks, death clocks. So this is the big thing. Players have 75 minutes to play their game, including deployment. Clocks are only stopped by the TO. So you're given a chess clock, because I know someone who has them, and the clock starts on your turn. So you do all your turn on your turn. It only flips to your opponent. That's how you finish your turn. It's like, my turn's finished, clock flips. Then your opponent's time runs out. Time starts running. The only time it flicks back and forth is if they have control of initiative. So say, and you particularly want to do that, as in the same style. So it's my turn. I'm fighting a combat against Barry. Barry wins the combat, and he's got the choice of time, like what he wants to do. Now I normally don't need to flip the clock for that, but if Barry's taking an unfeasible amount of...
Well, it may be a protracted combat that's
coming. Then you might want to flip it back. But in practice, you don't need to really...
So would that only be on an advance, or would you do it on a pursuit? Or
whenever you have the choice.
Okay.
Whenever your opponent... Because combat...
So if he chooses to pursue, then maybe it could go on his...
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Exactly. So you will lose if your clock runs out of time. And what this does as a tournament organiser is that there's food being provided at this event. I need to know when that food should be ready.
Yeah.
And I need all the games to finish with a hard result. One of you will win or lose. It doesn't matter. Sadly, you could be winning the game fantastically, but if you run out of time, you run out of time. Only you control that time.
So, I'm far more likely to run out of time than you are, Paul, because virtually every game I'm way ahead of you on time. But that's just
the way you are.
Yeah.
But so you have basically, there's no excuses. Your opponent doesn't affect that time. You have to manage it. You know, and that's part of this event. But as you see, that it's a long time to play a game of War Master in a sense. It's like, I wouldn't, unless you are really unfamiliar with the rules. And I will be there to answer rules questions. It's you can't turn around and tell me that's not enough time to play a game of War Master, 2.5 hours, because it is.
Yeah.
You know? And it's my answer to that. It's like, well, it is. You know, like, get
quicker.
Well,
it should be.
Yeah.
But I must admit, sometimes I get near the edge. I do.
But you've never actually run out of time, though.
No, normally I win with about 8 minutes left or 5 minutes
left. That's as good as winning with 40.
Well, we'll see.
So, obviously, rules is the War Master rule book with this following errata. Painting and proxying. The armies don't need to be painted. At future events, they might need be, but right now they don't. Proxying will always be allowed, but you need to talk through your opponent what it is.
Yeah.
You know, I'll draw the line at the moment of tokens, because that's not really on. But, you're allowed to use, a unit to stand in for a unit, in a sense, if it's... because there's rules of proxying. Just be a gent, talk to your opponent. I'll also add in one about terrain, is that this is a unofficial one, is you're best with terrain, as I will walk everybody through the event at the start, the terrain on the table, but ultimately you need to sort out the terrain rules before you start, before you go on the clock. Often a thing with these things is people debating the what the scenery is, but yeah. They should have done that before the game started. Well, if you call me over for a judge to say, we don't know if this woods, if this hill, if this unit's defended or not, depending on interpretations, I would tell you what I think it is with the way, like, I've explained to everyone at the start.
Yeah.
That's all I can do with that, really.
So I think what Jim did was good in the doubles, that he went around each table, and anything that looked out of the ordinary said, this is this, this is this.
For example, rivers in Warmaster don't really have set rules, but, like, is in out of the rule book. So we play what rivers are, and I'll explain to everyone exactly how that plays.
So how that is you have to order up to the river, and then you can order across.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you're on the opposite riverbank, you're defended.
Yes. Because they're going to have to assault you through the river.
I know, up the bank, yeah.
So the errata's are support. So you can support before moving casualties. If combat is won, units not in contact with the enemy but with stands in support of the combat can either stand their ground or fall back. However, they cannot go forward of an imaginary line across the main line of the combat. They're also eligible to reform at the end of the combat phase. So what this means is a unit supporting a unit in the fighting. So the front line is 3 centimetres ahead because that's the width of a base. So if
2 centimetres ahead.
Yes, 2 centimetres ahead. So if you go 3 centimetres or more, which triggers an extra bonus combat dice, you've outstripped your support. The support can't come with you.
Yeah, but then you're rolling a million dice and you've already hammered them.
Exactly, and it's a very good rule for that because where you're fighting, the front line is 2 centimetres ahead of the support. Because that's the size of a base.
So, and it tends to be most multiple combats, you get a 1 or 2
because it's rare that a brigade of 2 or more units goes back more than 3.
Three or more.
That's a key rule. Flanks. To hit a unit in the flank, the bulk of the charging unit must be inside the 45 degree arc on the side of the table. This applies only in part of the unit can see is in the flank. Again, if players needed a ruling, I will come over with a laser guider and a marker, and it'll be very clear what it is. If you've moved the stuff, I can't do it, can I?
One interesting thing that we were playing wrong, and now we don't, is that if you charge a missile unit in the flank, because of how line of sight works, you will still get shot.
Because the line of sight is 180. Yeah. The only times it wouldn't is if you were never in line of sight.
Well, you got charged in the back, but that's an interesting one because it doesn't seem like it should be, but it is when you look at the rules.
Yeah. So. Fight to front. Stands must fight directly to their front if possible, engaging the stand with which they have the longest edge-to-edge contact. If 2 enemy stands are at equal contact length, they may choose which one to engage. Corner-to-corner engage only occur when there's no other alternative. Key rule, because it makes combat a lot quicker. There's no deciding.
And it also stops the middle unit of rangers getting ruined.
Which we found before we started applying this rule. Again, it makes the game so much better.
You don't have to faff about it.
Fallback. In the event of a drawn combat, fallback moves can only be made sideways or backwards, i.e. a unit cannot go forward on an imaginary line across the main line of contact which they had with the enemy. Makes sense. Logically, was never in the core rules.
Yeah, it does work a lot better.
Terrain. If a unit is in or on or inside difficult terrain, but one or more stands is partly outside, which is often happens, then those stands still count as defended, 5 to hit, but the attacking stands don't lose a charge bonus. Broken ground, such as cultivated fields, count as open, but attackers do not gain charge bonuses. So this means Warmaster is area terrain. It's sometimes, to have a unit in a proper formation, a stand might be outside it.
Or partly outside.
Partly outside it.
Yeah.
And when it's partly outside it, then it's getting some benefit, but not all of
so
it.
For example, if a unit of infantry was part in a wood and there's a bit hanging out, cavalry could charge that unit, but they wouldn't get
that stand.
It would be defended. So they'd get all the charge bonuses, but it would be defended.
Yeah, exactly. Which again makes a logical sense for the practicality of the game. Scouting. To represent the pre-battle struggle for information between opposing armies, scouts and their commanders carry out personal reconnaissance and army scouting points to calculate as follows. So, roll scouting points troop type. Roll flyers, 3 points for scouting, any unit of flying character or a character on a flying mount, plus way watchers. Scouts, which is 2 points. Any unit of cavalry with 0 or 6 armour, rangers, gutter runners, ethereal hosts, dryads, centaurs, yetis, non-flying command 10 characters. And patrols, 1 point. any unit of cavalry with a 5-up armour and also Glade Guard and non-flying Command 9 characters. And pickets, half a point. Any unit of shooting infantry with a 0 or 6 armour, non-flying Command 8 characters. What it means is the players decide on this, and this is going to be part of your army list, what you've committed to scouting for that army list.
For the whole game.
You can't change it. It's like what you've committed. You roll 2 dice and add your scouting value to the side. It gives you a total. The winner will decide table sides and put their scouts down first. Then the loser sets up his entire army, and then you roll off. And then the winner plays the rest of his army, and you roll off a first turn. Key things there is that the scouting value doesn't change for the army list. It's part of your army list, and you've got to annotate it on your army list. What are scouts?
Yeah.
And you will choose the table side with the scouting roll. If you win the roll, you choose the table side.
It's definitely worth going for, although I then tend to knock on much further than the stuff that's worth 2.
Some races naturally have the troops for scouting. Others don't. But that is part of the army list.
Yeah. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
I think, who was it? Dwarves without gyrocopters have horrific problems with scouting.
Yeah, well, they're quite right too. Yeah. They have rangers, but I mean, you've got to think
about...
But
you wouldn't want to deploy rangers.
Not really. I mean, it depends. I mean, you are committing troops. You're giving the enemy an insight into your setup. But then he sets up his whole army. So some people decide to not even try any scouts at all and just go for it.
Yeah.
You know, like, and either set up all or keep their whole army as one deployment.
I think the guys in the doubles did that in the final,
yeah,
didn't they?
Yeah, yeah,
they
said,
we're not going to compete.
Yeah. So some people don't. I mean, that is a tactic. It's basically the core rules for setup, as in the original rules, are one unit at a time. Totally impractical, takes far too long, is unnecessary. This is a much better way to do it. And it's on the clock as well. So, basically, the way an army we sit down to play a game in the tournament, it's Paul versus Barry. I show you my army list, I talk you through my army, vice versa. We talk about the scenery, we make sure we're both happy with it. And then, what's your scouting value? Mine is this. I roll that dice. The winner of the scouting value sets his scouts up on the clock. The clock then never stops, apart from if you have a rules question, and it's me that stops it, the tournament organiser, nobody else. So you can't, judge and stop the clock. It's me stopping the clock. That's the first thing I'll do. I'll come over to the table, I'll stop the clock. What is the rules question? I'll give the rules answer. There's no debate. There's like, it's my decision on that. You just got to live with it.
Yeah.
And I start the clock again and you carry on.
So how about things like Beastmen with the hidden lists and hidden deployment and ambushing?
Yeah. Okay, so in the Beastmen list, it shows that they have an ambush site, which the player has to keep secret from the opponent. Now, theoretically, I can look at that, you know, as the tournament organizer to ensure they're doing it correctly. But yes, that bit is hidden from their...
And what about the list? Is that hidden?
No, the list is open, but what they're putting in ambush... I mean, you could
work it out. Yeah,
you could work it out.
Saying,
but the position, where the ambush is, you don't know.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to know where the ambush is. I just want to know potentially what's in ambush.
Yeah, but it should be obvious because there are going to be some units they've never set up. You know, they're not hiding units underneath the table. I mean, that's kind of unsporting. Like,
I'm not going to say anything.
But there shouldn't be that. Yeah, like, because that would be an unfair advantage. You should.
It was certainly psychological warfare.
Beastmen aren't a massively popular army.
That was funny.
You should say, okay, talk your opponent through the army list. Because ultimately, I will go around looking at army lists and ensuring points are correct.
Yeah.
If I find points are wrong... I will take units away until the points are right, basically.
Okay. And you've got to use... There's none of these war...
Given a link to what army lists are using. Now, it's not obviously... If someone's turned up with an army list from a War Master magazine that was never errata, as in, like, wasn't fixed or whatever, I'll explain. You know, and then until we give the rule army lists away, I will be a bit lenient with that.
Yeah.
But basically, in that case, I will look at what they've got and be like, these are actually the army list you're using, and it's major points, whatever, and I'll take a unit. Okay, so I need something that's 15 points to come off the table.
Yeah.
Like, and if it means it's excess, I'm afraid it's excess. I mean, other tournaments, they would like, well, sorry, you're disqualified. but I'm not going to do that. I want people to... Yeah, it's just like, well, you know, You need to toe the line in terms of what we're saying, and that means I'll take a unit off, or maybe a character off, or something. Yeah, it's not a big deal. I mean, I will ensure to get round that in the first round.
Good. Yeah. So, have you got many signed up yet? Do we know what the numbers are?
There's definitely...
I haven't done it yet, but I am playing. Don't worry.
I'm just going to pull it up on my phone. So, Barry, think of something to say.
So, I'm going to talk about Inside the Game while you do this.
Mm-hmm.
Inside the Game. So, I was interested to know how much better High Elves are than Orcs at ordering stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, the two scenarios I'm going to run through are you're a high elf general, you're an orc general, you're ordering a unit of cavalry, so you're going to move it 30 centimetres, and then you're going to move it another 30 centimetres with no enemy near, obviously, because you've got movement 30, so you can stand outside 20. And the overall success rate of me ordering that two orders in to get my cavalry into the flank of your wolf riders, as I did today.
Yep.
So the average, the percentage chance of that happening for a high elf is 76.39.
That's pretty good.
That's more than 3/4.
3/4, yeah.
Now, if I was a poor Orcsy general.
Orcs are the best.
Orcsies are the best. Doing the same manoeuvre.
Yep.
So no enemy near.
Yep.
Move once on an 8, then on 7. Yep. 42%.
Ooh.
So from less than 50-50, you go up to more.
You sound like a Uman, you are. Uman. Talking tactics.
Uman. And that and if you was just that interest, if you were leadership 9 general, it would be 60%. So that's a decent amount, 60%. But it's still 40% of the time.
But it shows you the difference.
And that's when it's easy for orcs. Yeah. If you're then doing the same manoeuvre with infantry, so you move 20, now you're in 20, because you've got to be. In order to charge, you've got to put yourself in 20 of the enemy. So your second order's on -2.
Yeah.
So first order, at least. Unmodified. Yeah, second order, at least -2. So an elfie doing that, 66%.
Still 2/3.
Two-thirds. A leadership 9 general, like a human general, 48.61.
So just below.
Below half. Still reasonable. Orcsies, 30%.
Ooh. So what happens if I'm using trolls that have taken some casualties?
Forget about it. It's not happening, is it? But that's what the game... You see, early and mid-game, you were doing all right.
Yeah.
But then the leadership gets so stretched, and it's not a case of, like... I've got no characters. I've got no characters can order anything worth ordering.
Yeah.
Because this dinged up unit of goblins, I'm ordering on a 5. But it's not even worth bothering with. Yeah. First order on a 5.
They could like poke him in the head. It's good name.
There's one unit of goblins on a 5. Brilliant.
Yeah.
What's it going to do even if you order it?
But it does show the math behind, definitely. You know, like statistics wise. So it shows you how.
So cavalry, they're almost twice as effective, and infantry, they're more than twice as effective on doing that very simplest of orders. Because you always set your stuff outside initiative range. So it's always two orders.
See,
always.
Knowing that, it might be like you want to shove it into initiative range. So at the very. At least you're forcing a fight. In the future.
Well, you want to force a fight that's not good
that's
for them.
That's favourable, yeah.
Yeah. So maybe you're forcing a fight that's only going to... They've only got enough to get one unit in. Yeah. And they're not going to want it. But then you're ready next turn to smashes them. But, yeah.
So...
For all the Orcsies.
So, back to how many players have signed up at the moment. We have 8 paid players already.
Plus me.
But well, no, that's not even counting.
Not I'm playing.
Yeah, no, that's the same. So...
Can you take cash?
You have to pay through the website. You have to pay 40k.
Oh no, I'll do that later. Can I pay on the day?
You could, but I'd rather you paid early. But no, yes, you could. But like, anyway, so there's 8 players signed up paid, but that doesn't count. There's quite a few who I know are playing. Barry's one of them.
I am.
I haven't paid yet.
No.
So
I still haven't paid. I just can't remember my login.
Yeah,
and
yeah. Got, we're going to look at around, I think, 10 to 16 players.
That's good.
And I mean, it's enough to warrant. They're 3 rounds plus. So I'm hoping we get an overall easy winner without needing strength of schedule after 3 rounds. But it's inevitable. There can't be a 4th, you know, sadly. But once you hit 16 players, you really should have a 4th. But, you know, my hands are tied there. There's only so many hours in the day. And
you would have a 4th at the Derby one.
Yes, yeah, because that would be spaced over 2 days.
Yeah, lovely.
It's a healthy number, and that's not all previous players. There's new players amongst those signed up already.
Excellent.
You know, so
if you are available and you live in the southeast of England or anywhere,
there's no cap. There's like the 40k is a venue runs 32 player Warhammer events, or it did. You know, like on 6x4s. So we could have 32 players playing Warmaster. We won't, but there is no cap.
So if you're free for a Saturday on the 2nd of July, come down and play. It'll be good.
Exactly. I cannot. I would love the day that I fill the venue, but I can't see it happening yet.
Good prizes, good food, good for fun, good friends, good game.
Because I'm offering out armies to use on the day. Members of our club are going to use some armies of mine, and they've never played before. And I will pair them against each other, and I will teach them on the day. So literally, even if you listen to our podcast and want to use an army but haven't like contact me, ask me if I've got it, you can use it. I mean,
I'll bring my list of minutes if anybody wants to use them.
Exactly. So, and turn up and play. I mean, even if you've never played the game before, tell me beforehand and I'll teach you in the first round. You won't do very well because I can't play it for you, but that's the way you learn. You know, if you think £10, if you think the travel in £10 is worth that experience, include when it includes lunch as well, this is your venue.
And a wooden spoon. I think it should be a wooden spoon.
Oh, yeah, probably a box set of something else.
No, I don't like that. You came here. Here's a box set of Age of Sigmar.
There you go. Enjoy that. But yeah, please turn up. I mean, I'd much rather run events that are, even though it's a competitive in hyphen events, I'd much rather run events that have players in it. So, I don't want any bars to entry. If I haven't got my stuff painted, that's not a bar entry. Oh, I don't have an army, that's not a bar to entry. Like, between me and Barry, we'll cater an army for you.
Okay, mm-hmm. Good. So another thing, somebody posted up, I'm terrible with names and I haven't got my computer in front of me, asked if we could create a sticky post of links, and I've started doing that on the Facebook page. So if you need to find out where Paul Zerata is, or you need to find the Warmaster or the Warmaster List Builder, or whatever, or our podcast, go to that Facebook page and you will see the links as a sticky post.
Yep, I mean, I have to say that Warmaster Army Build Army Selector website is fantastic. It's all up to date. It's how army...
You convert it now from your... Whatever
you
heard.
Yeah, army builder. When I realised that wasn't correct, I dropped it immediately. This army selector is correct. So it's it's default.
I told you the guy that runs the website is the guy that makes Warmonger.
Yeah.
If you want any halberdiers,
basically,
halberdiers, pikemen.
Yeah, if you're army list, we put up on our website, on our Facebook, our pictures, our website of our army list. Hand me that, and it's telling me this is correct. I would check it against mins and max values, but it would tell me if it was on the site, if it was illegal anyway.
Yeah, there are a few glitches in the system, but yeah, it's a fantastic product and it's free.
Well done, him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Dave. Mm. Right, so what have we got? Contact details. That's it, we're nearly done, man.
Yeah.
So it'll be a couple of weeks off, it'll be sad. So we'll miss you, Paul. Come back.
Yeah.
Don't get shot in America.
Not unless I do the shooting. But it should be fine.
You know, they're all carrying over there. They're all packing.
Yeah, maybe.
Don't be going insulting no Trump supporter.
Maybe I'll be trapped in a bar and they'll be like, I'll ask for a Trump supporter and he'll take exception to that and I'll be shot.
Or be like vampires, that from Dust Till Dawn or whatever.
Or True Blood. Yeah, so I'm sorry I'm away for 2 weeks, but it's inevitable. Future episodes we want to do, obviously I need some games with Skaven.
When are you going to play these games with Skaven, Paul?
I am going to play these games with Skaven.
Talking about Skaven? Play the games with Skaven!
There's demons to do.
I'm working on demons.
There's tons to do. And we haven't even scratched the surface of trying to play scenarios. Because there's tons of scenarios in the Warmaster.
I think that might have to be next year.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like there's scope for the future.
Maybe we'll put one in a scenario.
And we haven't even tried a bigger game, like a 3,000 point game. Haven't even tried it yet, have we?
No, there's...
So there's...
There's a big world.
Yeah, there's so much more... There's so much more games of it to play and footage. I mean, we haven't even touched a lot of the armies. Norse. Have you tried Norse yet? No. Exactly. It's
Witch Hunter. I haven't even done Araby yet. That's one of my lists.
Exactly.
I haven't got near them. Latest, latest. Right, so contact details, Facebook page or WarmasterPodcast@googlemate.com.
Yeah.
This was Warmaster Podcast episode 22. Paul and Barry. Enjoy your holiday, Paul. Come back safe.
Thank you.